Let Me Explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
They had these covered in plastic wrap until about 5 minutes ago, and you can just feel the newness, the new couches off them. Hello, all together now. Oh, come on, one more time. It's 4 o'clock on the Friday. You still have energy. Hello, all together now. Welcome to the Go Loud Lounge, the first ever Go Loud Lounge at All Together Now. Come on. More of the cheering. Also, the first ever live Let Me Explain podcast. So, welcome to Waterford, boy, because that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 40, 45 minutes or so, and I couldn't think of three bigger, better blas to have with me on the stage, because I'm joined by Mick Kelly. You will know him from the telly, you will know him from Grow HQ, from GIY, all-around gardening god. Is that fair?
No, it's really not. Not a gardening god at all, complete hacker grower, but... Been getting away with it now for nearly 20 years.
So proof of keep the head down and keep going, you'll be exactly. Fine. Yeah. We are also joined by Claire, but two powers, in fact, on the stage. That's how much of a Waterford show
Power
this
squares.
Is. Two de Puers. Claire Power, social media for the Irish Examiner, and probably the biggest blah on the couch.
I'd like to think so anyway.
Yeah.
But
I think that's fair. And of course, Niall Power, managing editor of Beat and voice of breakfast in Waterford and in the southeast.
Voice of my teenage years.
And
you made
mine.
Me feel old.
Well, I was actually talking to someone in Bower the other day, and I said, "Do you know Niall Power?" And they said, "I know him from when he was a baby in 98FM.
Yes, that's true. Started out in 98FM when I was 18.
18?
Yeah.
And you never left radio?
No. 20 years next February on Beat Breakfast.
You never got the common sense
to move on
to something else.
My mother still thinks, will you ever get a job? A real job?
When will you finally just get over this radio nonsense? So we are over the next 40 minutes or so. We are going to do a top 10 of Waterford, boy. The top things to ever come out of the Daisha County. Maybe All Together Now will be one of them. Maybe we won't be invited back next year if it's not. So we'll just have to see how it goes on. But before we get into the lists, and our panellists have selected a few things that they want to talk about, Claire was doing her homework, but as befits her, was doing her homework with the benefit of her parents, John and Catherine, who are down there. Can I get a big round of applause for John and Catherine? Woo! And most of the suggestions that we took on actually came from them. So real kudos. The check
don't
is on the way.
Don't hang me out to dry there. I
didn't do
them.
Any work at all.
Yeah, there was real dog ate my homework vibes off the notes you sent on to me. But some of the things they talked about, right? Sayings and phrases that you only get in Waterford. Large bottle off the shelf. Explain that to me.
So it's actually funny because it was actually only my boyfriend, who's a Cork man, pointed out lately. We were in Tully's famous pub, which probably should be on the list as well in Waterford. And he heard someone order a large bottle off the shelf. And I think it's more Waterford, more befitting to say afterwards, large bottle off the shelf, boy. So basically, essentially, we were just saying there, it's back in the day, we were saying it's essentially a warm bottle of Guinness, or you were saying maybe Carling.
Carling at the time, yeah. Carling XL, as it was back in the day. But there was a second part to that sentence. It was a large bottle off the shelf and a bottle of Ritz for the lack. That's to complete the whole sentence.
Right, you brought me on to the second one now. Lack.
Yeah.
Explain lack.
Me lack.
Well, lack is girlfriend, missus. I tried to look at the origins, and I believe it was something to do with Colleen. Lacking was another version of Colleen, and that's where lack came from. But it's very common in Waterford. And actually, look, it applies to the boyfriend as well. Anyone can be the lack, you know. But the lack, I'm looking after the lack. I'm bringing the lack out and getting
very,
the lack.
Very inclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 2025.
It's worth saying also that the large bottle off the shelf, because it's off the shelf, it's absolutely mank. Like particularly warm Guinness, like, is just... It's not
like your day three tent can that people are going to have in a few days' time.
Yeah, not great.
Shelly Kabuki, Claire.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great one. So I'm currently working in Cork, and I was saying Shelly Kabuki to people all week, and they were like, what the hell is that? So does anyone know what a Shelly Kabuki is? Yeah, a snail. Yeah, basically.
Wait, no, hold on. He said a snail.
A snail.
Get it right.
So, yeah, a Shelly Kabuki is essentially just a snail, but for some reason here we call it Shelly Kabuki, and I don't know why, but...
Yeah, I looked this up recently because I posted about it, and it's to do with an old Irish phrase, but I love it. And since I was a kid, it's a Shelly Kabuki.
Yeah, it's nice when as a kid, and then you try to explain to people outside Waterford when you're growing up what a Shelly Kabuki is, and they're like, I don't know. yolk, Mick, and it might be a different yolk to some of the yolks that people are talking about it altogether now. But anyway,
yeah, I need to actually fess up here that I'm a blow into Waterford, so I'm not a true blah at all, and I'm going to defer. I'm going to defer to the lads on the yolk one.
You know, say, oh, she's a right yoker. He's a right yoker.
He's some yolk.
You wouldn't want to be called a yolk now. Yeah. You know,
it's not good.
No, not good.
We have plenty of yolks to talk about on the GOI farm here, like, because we've got.
What are you growing there now? I tell you. One you might know, by hook or by crook. Have you come up? You've surely come.
Oh yeah, I think I can kind of know what that is. That's talking about the hook and crook. Obviously, two locations down in the mouth of the Shore.
Yeah.
Back to Cromwell when he was trying to invade. Yeah. He said, "We'll take it by hook or by crook."
Yeah. So it's basically no matter what, I think, is the meaning of it, right?
Yeah. People don't know that one. They might not know it came from Waterford. So there you go. There's some of your sayings. We're going to get in now to your top 10, right? And no particular order at the start. Everyone, the way we've done it, each of us have picked two things to lock into the top 10, the best things about Waterford. And then at the end, we're going to have a row about whatever's left and what should or shouldn't be in. So, Niall, we're going to start with you, because this is one, if you haven't been out in Waterford, you might know, but Jeff's.
Yeah. I mean, I sound like an alcoholic here by bringing up a pub first thing as the first thing from Waterford, but anyone who knows Jeff's in Waterford, in the heart of Waterford City, if you're not from Waterford, it is the most renowned pub, it is the most loved pub, and it is very much a centrepiece of the community in Waterford City. And it goes back to 1907 or something like that when a man named Power, shockingly enough, opened a grocery and kind of pub there, and it went through the generations. And when the apple market was thriving as a kind of marketplace back in the 20th century, but then the business kind of moved down towards the quay, towards the port, and it became a pub. And a guy called Jeff, who was the grandson of the original owner, Jeff Power, turned it into what became this really, really important part of Waterford kind of culture and community. And it just kind of expanded over the years, but even as it expanded, it never changed. It wasn't one of these pubs that every 2 years we felt, oh, we need a whole new look to this place. In fact, the only thing they did was buy more old furniture, more old church pews, more, like, every piece of furniture in it is different. I wouldn't say it's the most comfortable to sit in, but it's certainly the place where you will meet all of your friends. There's no age on it. You know, it's 18 to 80. In fact, you'd find generations of families going for food there together. And over the last maybe 5 or 10 years, as business has changed for pubs and that whole business, it's really developed its food offering. So, if I just say the string fries in Jeff's, everybody knows what you're talking about. And they do really reasonable food at a good price. But they've also got now this terrace out the front. So in the winter time, the most important place to sit is in the window of Jeff's. Yeah. But in the summertime, the most important spot to get is out on the terrace, because you see the world and their mother passing by, and people will stop and they'll come in and they'll join you for a drink. And it's just, as I said, a really important part. It's more than just a pub, I think, for Waterford City. You'd agree?
100%. And I was just about to say, I was like, he has to mention the window seat. Yeah. Like, I remember there was a few Christmases, a few of us were out there and we were like, I cannot believe we got the window seat. Yeah. It's like iconic. Like, yeah. Great spot.
It's a weird one to describe. Like, it's kind of old manny and bougie at the same time.
Yeah. And trendy at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a very, very cool spot and has kind of kept that over the years as well.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like number one pub in Waterford is a big title to bestow.
Yeah, well, I can't think of anywhere else that has such a history going back over so many years. We could talk about Downs's, we could talk about Mars and places like that. Unbelievable. But I just know my parents went to Jeff's and my brother and sister went to Jeff's and I'm going to Jeff's and my niece and nephews are going to Jeff's and grandchildren down the road will still go to Jeff's. It's just that important, you know?
It's just Jeff's.
It's just Jeff's.
It's just Jeff's.
Yeah.
They can charge us the time again. We'll move on to the next one. And I'm going to need the cheer when Claire announces this first one. It's the one that all of you, most of you, I would imagine, would put as number one in your top 10 of Waterford. Because you loves your county.
I loves me county, boy. Who knows it? John Milan.
John Milan!
Hey. Woo! Yeah, so when you think of, like, when it comes to Waterford hurling, I would love to say that we have more All-Ireland titles. We don't need them. We have John Milan, and that's all that matters.
So, he's here. Yeah. He's here. Look.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't know we had pictures.
And our surprise guest.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The Late Late Show when they bring out the child, you know, the hero.
I would get too starstruck. I wouldn't be. So yeah, John Milan is a Waterford hurler, an iconic Waterford hurler who has won, I think my Kerry friend actually down the back helped me with some research for that. Thanks, Kev. He has 5 All-Stars, 4 Munster titles. No All-Ireland, unfortunately, but by God, if anyone deserves an All-Ireland hurling title, it's John Milan. So basically, in 2004 Munster final, we were playing Cork. We won, but really iconically, John Milan got sent off, so got a red card. Everyone's hearts were broken. We're like, are we going to be able to do this without him? Lo and behold, we did. But he did this really, really iconic interview at the end where basically the whole of Waterford was just gathered around him. It was like a really iconic, you know, like, go on, John Boy, you're grand. And he came out with this line, yeah, you know, I'm so sorry. I loves me county. So like, yeah, I think everyone knows that line now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's on T-shirts, it's on stickers, it's known. I'll tell you a quick funny one about John. I just moved back to Waterford and the breakfast show was kind of taking off and I was out one night in a place called Sinnott's at the time, and John came out of the toilets, looked at me and took a run at me and grabbed me in a headlock, and I thought, that is it. My life is over. This is it. And in the headlock he says to me, I loves the show, boy. And I was like, okay, life made.
Yeah.
Please tell me you got him to record a promo. No, to that effect.
I know, I wasn't asking him, Anthony. I ran.
I'm trying to see if he's still, there's some chance that he's here or lurking, because I'm afraid to almost tell this story, but my John Milan story is less glamorous in that we were, he's a big hero when you're in school, you know, he went to De La Salle, he was De La Salle man, and then one day I was in the bathroom, about 15 years old, and there was a broken toilet, and who came in to fix it? Only John Milan. And I just thought, here's an image I never ever thought I would see. It's John Milan fixing my toilet. But there you go.
There's something just about the kind of vein popping intensity of that photo as well. I'm just thinking about
it's passion. Like it's raw passion. Like,
and
if
it's like the redness of the face and the red. It's just, I just think he's class. And obviously made really famous then by Mario as well. Another great Waterford export too. I don't know whether he made the list, but
he did.
We'll see. He made the long list anyway. Yeah. We'll have to see about him. Moving on from one hero to your own first pick, Mick, and this is something your own kind of vain pick a little bit in that you picked the social enterprise that you've started, but that I think deservedly needs to be on there.
Yeah. Well, it's not just a shameless plug. There is a connection with Altogether Now and with the Curramore Estate that I think was the reason I wanted to mention it, because otherwise it would have just been a shameless plug and that wouldn't do. But yeah, we started GIY here in Waterford and really proud of the fact that, you know, something that started in the actually first ever GIY meeting was in City Library in Waterford in 2008, and it's grown from there into a organization, and really proud of that. And then we set up a kind of headquarters in just opposite the hospital in Ardkeen there called Grow HQ, and we opened that in 2016. That was all about having a place where people could come and learn how to grow food and cook food, but have you know, most importantly, eat homegrown food to sort of be able to taste what it was like. And it's a very small site. The city council gave us the land back in 2015. It's a 3-acre site, so we were very restricted about how much we could grow. And we went on this mad sort of search to find more land to sort of expand out. And that eventually took us to here and to the estate manager here, Alan Walsh. I met him years ago and started chatting about would they give us some land, because like they're not shy of a bit a couple of acres out here. And Lady Waterford brought us down to the walled garden, which is sort of over that way. I was saying to the lads, I'm a little bit disorientated with all the other infrastructure to here. It's over sort of behind the house.
Yeah, is it true you got lost on your way in, even though you're here
already
every week?
It is true. I did get lost. But it's she took us through this gate. It was like going into the secret garden, like it was mental. And we found this 13-acre walled garden that's been kind of unused for a very long time. It certainly hasn't been productive for about 40 or 50 years. And it has been used as a walled garden for producing food since the mid-1800s, like incredible. One of the largest walled gardens in Europe, we believe, certainly the largest in Ireland. And so we sort of took it over for them and have been growing food and keeping pigs and hens and all of that. You know, a stone's throw away from here for the last 2 years or so, and we sell the produce then in Grow HQ inside in town. So it's a lovely connection, I think, between what we're doing in the city of Waterford and then the, you know, the Curramore estate. And we've had amazing support from the family here who are hosting us all this weekend as well.
And I love when people talk about Lady Waterford and Lord Waterford and all that. It's all very fancy.
I know her as Mandy, actually, because she's, I don't know, like, I'm terrified she might be here and I'd say something wrong, but she's so cool. Like, she's an incredible woman. She's, most of the time I've ever met her, she's in skinny jeans and Converse runners. So she's the least Lady Waterford you can imagine, but she's a brilliant person and you know, to keep this place going, like the work that's involved in it and stuff, and she's absolutely awesome, you know.
Yeah, and I believe you are going to be Ireland's answer to Jeremy Clarkson before too much longer.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd love to be as big as Jeremy Clarkson. I think it's highly unlikely, but yeah, we've been filming a series with RTE that's kind of following the journey of what we're trying to do with the farm, and that'll be going out next year, and it's kind of a bit of a warts and all accounts of trying to make it all work commercially to have a small organic farm and to be trying to kind of, you know, get people to buy the veg in an environment where, you know, it's very hard to compete with supermarkets and all that. So it'll be an honest account of how difficult that is, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we look forward to seeing that whenever it comes out. I just have to take a second to comment on this mist.
It's like a smoke machine.
On fire over there.
Had someone set off a smoke machine or something.
You look like Bonnie Tyler holding out for a hero.
I definitely didn't demand that in my contract, that there would be mist constantly coming at me, but it's a nice perk, I have to admit. Well, on to my own first selection, and you will have seen all of these as you came in on the lovely drive today, and that hopefully weren't stuck in traffic for too long. The Cumbria Mountains. And you saw kind of the beautiful vista there, but it's been made a little bit famous by Ross Purcell and by others in the last few years. Mahon Falls, going climbing up the waterfalls, Cum Chinnon Lake, going and trying not to fall down into it. But the one I wanted to ask you all about, and Claire, you mentioned it to me, is the Magic Road.
Yes.
And people genuinely do not believe me about this who haven't done it. It's the most freaky thing ever if you have never tried it in a car. Is that it is essentially kind of a road up near Mahon Falls where if you are going down this rather steep hill and you put the car into neutral, you will go back up the hill.
It actually is true.
Yeah, and it does actually work.
It does, yeah. So there's like the magic tree on the Magic Road, and the tree is like decorated with whatever, and like that it genuinely does happen. So you need to all try it.
And I don't know, has there ever been any like research into why it happens?
Because the fairies.
It's magic.
Fairies.
Yeah,
the freakiest thing, like.
The Danny Healy Ray answer, fairies. It's the most freaky thing you could ever do. I'd urge you to do it, especially if you're doing it hungover on Monday. Yeah.
Home,
that'll
be
totally
safe.
Chip
Drive
you out.
Safe.
But it, every sinew in your body just urges, put on the handbrake, because this does not feel right at all. So that's one to do if you haven't done it on your list of Waterford and you're up the comers. Niall, we're going to go to your number two, Waterford Crystal.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, if you're from Waterford, it is not Waterford Crystal. It's Waterford Glass. It's the glass. And I think one of the things that as Waterford people, because it's been there in our lives for so long, we kind of take it for granted how important and how prestigious a brand it is. I remember back in the 80s when it was maybe at its peak, I think there was like 3,000 people employed at Waterford Crystal in a city of 45,000 people. It was just such a huge employer. And what that meant was that every family in Waterford had somebody in the glass, which meant we all got cheap Waterford Crystal. And I swear to God, I lived in a fairly regular semi-D in a housing estate with chandeliers in the telly room. I was going around drinking my waddy out of a goblet because we had an uncle in the glass. And like anything, I think it was sometimes it was slightly minorly flawed, like they got to take it home. But Waterford Glass was always there. And then obviously there was a very troubled time, 90s into the noughties, where nobody was sure if it was still going to be a brand. And they managed to kind of put something together that created the wonderful space they have now on the Mall in Waterford. They took over that old DSB building, which was an eyesore, but I think really looks well now. And nowadays, in 2025, there's two sides to it. Firstly, Waterford Crystal is still, you know, every big sporting occasion, whether it's a Grand Prix or whether it's a tennis or whether it's Times Square on New Year's Eve, it's Waterford Crystal that they're using. The other thing is, as a tourist driver for Waterford, we're in the cruise season at the moment. And now we've huge cruise liners coming into Dunmarese, two or three of them a week with over 2,000 people. They all want to go to Waterford Crystal. It's the one place that they want to go. So in terms of a tourism driver, we have a lot going on in Waterford between the Museum Quarter and the Greenway and all the rest. But I think Waterford Crystal is still the number one in terms of, you know, I know from travelling around the world, you'd meet people from different countries and they'd say, where are you from? I'm from Ireland. And whereabouts? I'm from Waterford. It's in the southeast. And they kind of look at you, you know. So I say Waterford Glass and they still look at me puzzled and they go, Waterford Crystal. And they go, yes. Everybody knows all over the world this brand, and I think we should be really proud of it.
Even if they don't know where Ireland is.
Absolutely.
I've heard of Waterford Crystal, yeah.
And it's kind of cool, like you were talking to me before we came on about, like, that's become the heart of this museum quarter, but some really odd museums. Like, it's not traditional museums they have down there.
Yeah, the Viking Triangle, that sort of down near Reginald's Tower, down that end of the quay, is actually, like, I feel really proud of that sort of part of the city
gorgeous.
Now. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the previous city manager, Michael Walsh, I think, did a brilliant job of kind of helping to redevelop that space. But it's building up as a kind of a museum quarter. There's a couple of really interesting ones. Like, so there's a Museum of Time.
Yeah.
There's a Wake Museum. So yeah, all about the histories edition. Of funerals.
Have you been in the Wake Museum?
I haven't. My family have been in. I haven't been in. And they thought it was great.
Like, what goes on?
I don't know. I wasn't.
Is it
there.
Just exhibitions?
People are wondering what it is. It's actually a wake. Like, when you go to a funeral, you go to the wake. So the whole museum is dedicated to the Irish wake.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I just wonder, are the exhibits of the different types of sandwiches you might, you know, like, what is
funeral
it?
Soup.
Funeral soup. Like, how to make the... I've always wondered, I had to go see it, obviously, to figure it out.
I think that part of... That end of the city, I think, is just fantastic. Yeah. It's really a credit to them, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of another end of the city, it is one of the other picks that you had, and we're going out of the city now, and we're going to Dunmore East.
Yeah. Mm. Well, like as I said, I'm a blow-in, but I've lived in just outside Dunmore for about I suppose 20 years or so, and I just think it's like as a blow-in, I think you kind of tend to appreciate these things like. My grandparents were from Waterford. My parents grew up in the city, and so we always came to Dunmore East for summer holidays and stuff. And it's just the most like if you drove down the hill into Dunmore from like passing the church at Calais, and saw that vista anywhere in the world. Like if you're in the south of France on holidays, you'd be delighted with yourself. Like it's just the most stunning location. And there's this, like, loads of places to swim. There's all this kind of weird... When I arrived first, I was like, what is the story with all these weird names for all the coves? Like, and everybody has their preference about where they like to swim, you know, either on Counselor Strand or Lawler Strand.
Badger's
two
Cove.
Two big beaches, then the coves, Badgers and Ladies.
What's behind Badger's Cove? You have to...
I have no idea what the origins, but I've never seen a badger there, I can confirm.
And then there's one called Men's Cove and Ladies' Cove, and, like, you're allowed to go to Ladies' Cove if you're a man, and it's, like, you know, it's all that weird terminology. And then, you know, like, sitting at the in the Strand Hotel outside on a Friday evening if the sun is shining and having a beer or a bit of food, like just
could
nowhere
be anywhere.
Else in the world.
Yeah.
And then big shout out, I think, for the East Pier, like have a bag of chips and some fish at the East Pier with Elaine Power there. Like it's just a magic place. Like, you know, I just love it. And the beauty of Dunmore is because it's got the sort of the cliffs there and then the woods behind it. Even as it develops, and it's getting quite big, there's a lot of housing in Dunmore, but it's all sort of back. So that vista, if you're in swimming and look back, the vista will never change, really. You know, it's very, it always looks like it's not developing, even though it is, really. You know, I think it's just beautiful.
Yeah, there's something lovely about sitting up on the cliff with a bag of chips, looking out to Loftus Hall, like across the bay and Hookhead and all that. It's just this beautiful vista if you've never been. Claire, we have to get to the plug. And I don't mean it as a plug, because genuinely this featured in my top 10 of Waterford, but it's going to sound like a plug.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that one of the first things I thought of was all together now. Mm. I mean, like, this is chapter six.
Chapter six, yeah.
Obviously, we didn't have the 2 years of COVID. So 2018 was the first year. So I'm literally from 10 minutes over the road. And I'm going to say, I said this to them. I said, I'm going to say it. I don't care. We come walking here, my parents, for years. This is where we do our walks. And about 15, 16 years ago, myself and my dad were walking through here. I think it was around Christmas time. We're just going for a walk. And I said, do you know what would be really cool here? A music festival. So I'm taking the credit for this whole thing. But yeah, look, it's incredible. I've been here every year. As I said, like, my parents go, my family go, my friends go. It's just the most incredible place. The atmosphere, like, obviously the music, but it's just exploring. Like, take a walk. If this is your first year, or if you've never been in through the woods, like, there's the Green Crafts Village. There's, take a walk down by the house. And even, like, everything. It's just fab. It's a great... great festival, and I think it's really putting Waterford on the map as well. And
I think there's something, and you know, for everyone here, it's the Sounders, it's the people that come to this particular festival that you just never get negative vibes. You know,
I don't think so. No,
and I've been here every year as well, and I just love coming back just because the vibes are so good. You know,
yeah, it's you, dear listener,
it's you
who makes All Together Now every year. I remember then some of the lads who are here will remember. The first year we came to All Together Now, and as we do on the first day, we were sitting around chatting shite and ranking the 32 counties in Ireland.
Oh, as you do.
And as we do. And I got into a bit of a not inconsiderable row with a man from Meath who said...
Oh, God.
Who said that Waterford belonged in the late 20s, if not the early 30s.
What?
So obviously a bit of bad blood to start the festival.
Totally.
And then... you know, a couple of days later on the Sunday night, having been at All Together Now for 2 days, he turns to me and goes, I was wrong. Waterford should be good. In the top five.
Yeah. So it is. I genuinely always say I think it is the most underrated county. I really, really do.
I completely agree with that. And again, with a bit of a blow-ins perspective, because, like, I think this has improved. But I think when I moved here first, like, there was a little bit of... Waterford people were a bit down on themselves and the county and what it had. And I just thought, like, you mentioned the Cumber Mountains, like the different types of sort of that you have everything in a very quite a small space. You've got the mountains, you've the sea, you've a city. Like I live in Dunmereast, and I'm into the city in like 15 minutes or less. Like, so you've got this with everything that's happening there, all the food and the culture, if that's your thing or whatever. So it's got it all, and then obviously really, really fertile farmland as well, which is, from my world, that's very important.
Puts you into top five.
So, like, fantastic food production county. We didn't talk about all of the amazing food heritage so much yet, but, like, and I won't mention that word yet.
Well, that's no. Do you know what? That's where I was going next, so right. Mention it.
Well, I won't mention it, but to say, like, Jacob's Cream Crackers, you know, the heritage we have around bacon and
Denny.
Waterford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Denny's and...
Flahavens. Flahavens.
Flahavens, absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant.
Only over the road.
Business over generations, like hundreds of years. So, like, totally. We've an incredible food culture as well. And then, of course...
And then, of course, the one, the big one, the blah.
All hail the blah.
Woo! Yeah. Not a bap.
Not a blurry bap.
Not a bap.
Not
never.
A bap.
So go on. How would, to the people who will constantly say, including my fiance Jill there, that it is just a flowery bap.
Oh,
for
God.
Why is it not just a flowery bap?
Well,
I didn't expect the silence to be so
loud.
Maybe
there.
It is. All right, all right. We'll move on.
No,
but like it has got this massive heritage and pedigree that, like, I don't know all of the history, but I do know, like, it's believed that it was brought here by the Huguenots, that they called it, you know, which, like, obviously, so it's got that French background. So the French bakers basically brought it to Waterford. And Waterford people, it was like blanc, like as in white in French, but they were, Waterford people weren't able to pronounce that, so they called it the blah. And I feel very vulnerable here trying to explain the history of blahs. The lads might jump in a bit.
They've gone very silent.
Like, number one, it is like three ingredients, I think. Like, it's just an absolutely pure product, no preservatives in it. Mm. the thing in Waterford was always, I remember this as a kid coming down here, you never really ate Blas after like 2 in the afternoon because they'd be going...
It's like bad luck after midday.
Yeah. And then there's all the thing about certain Waterford people prefer Walsh's and others prefer...
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important question. You can judge somebody's entire personality. Are you crusty? Are you soft? You know? Yeah, I'm soft.
Yeah, I'm soft as well.
Okay.
Soft as well.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Also soft. As well.
Yeah. Then as well, like a real Waterford thing as well that like people would have in their Blas, like you could have potatoes, you could have ham, but the real Waterford Blas, red lead.
So
essentially, red lead, for people that don't know, is luncheon sausage, basically. But a Blas with red lead, you know, it's Waterford delicacy.
Yeah, I have to point out, you can get luncheon meat, like Denny's do it across the country, but there's a particular Waterford luncheon, which is made by Country Style, and I'm scared to look at Mick because of the nutritional value in red lead. But it is a luminous pink. I mean, it's not quite as luminous as it used to be. The damn EU and banning all those additives. But it's still good, right? The only thing you've got to do with red lead is you don't question what's in it. Is it actually meat? Who knows? But it's damn tasty. And that's all I'll say.
You take this amazing natural product that has no preservatives in it and then slather it in something that's not that.
It's something that glows in the dark.
No disrespect to Country Style. Yeah.
But you made a point to me. Have we devalued the Blas? Because you can now get it nationwide.
Anywhere, yeah. You can get it on a flight to Dubai now, I think. So like, obviously, it's gone with the times, and fair play to the companies locally that are making it. Number one, it has European protected status now. I think it's called PGI status. That so it's like champagne. You can't actually make a flowery BAP and call it a Blas now because it's protected European designation. And like companies like Dermot in Walsh Bakehouse and so on, like they've just done amazing work to turn a product that had to be used in Waterford before lunchtime, before it went off, into something that's, you know, available all over Ireland. It's in supermarkets now, thanks to the kind of, I suppose, the vacuum packaging and stuff they can do now. They can get it anywhere, and that's to be celebrated. But also, I think I feel a little wistful about that too.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. I suppose another byproduct then came from the Blas a few years ago, and it didn't last very long. Was with a local beer company in Tramore, Metalman and Walsh's Bakehouse. They were created a Blagger, so it was basically a beer with bits of Blas in it. Now, obviously not lumpy bits of Blas, but so Blagger. So if you ever see that on the shelves, try that as well.
Yeah. Or don't, I by the sounds of it. So that is our 8 locked in, the 8 that we picked each of our panellists. So we have Jeff's as the best bar in Waterford. We have Waterford Glass as opposed to Waterford Crystal. John Milan, all together now. On John Milan. That always gets cheered, no matter where you are. All together now, Grow HQ, Dunmore East, the Blas, and the Cumaras. And now we have to decide on a final 2. I'm going to throw some out there. Pick up wherever you like. We've got the Tricolour. We've got John O'Shea, the Greenway, Dungarvan, Spree, Winterville, Keith Barry, Gilbert O'Sullivan, Ballytough Upper. Good luck to you, whoever.
Yes, he was on the list. Yep, very good one as well.
So make your case. Who wants to argue for a spot in the last 2?
I think there's a lot to be said for the Greenway and what it's done for east and west of the county. I mean, okay, it's made it very easy for the Wild West to get into the city. But, you know, it's just been phenomenal since it's opened. It's probably about 10 years, give or take. And it was one of the first big greenways in Ireland. But what it's done, particularly for Dungarvan, and, you know, to bring life to Dungarvan in terms of brilliant food offerings, hotel, you know, just crack. There's a lot of life down there. And I think it's something that both locals and tourists enjoy equally.
I think it's, like, I've been on, I think, most of the greenways kind of around the country, and I think it's by far the best. Like, it's a phenomenal, you know, just everything about it, like all the different stages of it, the different types of scenery. Like, again, you suddenly open out into the vista of the bay and all of that. Like, it's absolutely magic.
Even the tunnel, like, the little old train tunnel, like, it's gorgeous. Coming out there, like, the cliffs and everything, and then the view coming around to Clonay, like, it really, and as Niall said, it's done wonders for Dungarvan and Kilmacthomas and those places as well.
Okay, that sounds like a fairly agreed, easy lock-in then for the Greenway as number 9.
I'll throw a little bit of a curveball that wasn't mentioned yet, and I'm kind of almost loath to bring him up because I don't know everything about him. But Thomas Francis Marr, I was thinking. I was in the States one time. I can't remember if it was it Philadelphia or Boston, and just happened to come across his grave there, which is with, and so he's He's an incredible, incredible sort of historic figure from Waterford, and obviously went over there then to become, like, I think like an army general or something, very famous about the American Civil War and all that. So, like, big historical figure with real significance in the States, I think.
Well, I mean, it was him, like Sean just mentioned, the tricolour. It was him that brought, like, so the tricolour was actually flown for the first time in Waterford. And it was Thomas Francis Maher that developed that idea and brought it here.
Yeah, and I suppose the statue that people pass on, you know, like all the time, just opposite the Tower Hotel, obviously he's there with his sword in the air and all that. So
I've tried to climb it once or twice. Not successful. Not successful.
After a light and jazz.
Yeah.
After a large bottle off the shelf. Or whatever.
A blagger for energy.
That's what a blagger will do to you. Jesus Christ. Okay. So are we locking him in? Is Thomas Francis Maher slashed?
I don't know.
He's connected to the tricolour.
If you look at some of the other famous names, any of them, John O'Shea?
I mean, there's a lot to be said for what John has achieved, both from a club and international perspective, and now obviously involved in the management side of things as well. And just a great ambassador, because, you know, the thing about John is he still goes to Ferrybank Soccer Club to the lads when he's home and spends time with them. And I just think he's a great guy.
Yeah, and Mario Rosenstock, I think.
Yeah, is he? Do we count him from Waterford?
I think his mother.
He went to Waterpark.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe in house, do we have to show a bit of Go Loud bias? I don't know. Maybe.
Let's look at the marketing team. There, are they giving us a nod?
Are they saying they're nodding purely?
Like, it's why he did that. He used to have a brilliant character years ago, Mossy Henebrey. I don't know if you remember that, which was like, it was just like a brilliant Waterford accent takeoff. Like, I always remember that one.
Yeah.
Gilbert O'Sullivan, another one to pop out there that maybe not that well associated now.
Yeah, I mean, look, the number ones he had in America, songs that everybody knows, like Alone Again Naturally. It's interesting, Gilbert had a bit of a troubled relationship with Waterford for many years, because I think the story goes he had a gig in the Forum in 1993, but it was the night Niamh Kavanagh won the Eurovision, so everybody stayed at home. And it was a very poor crowd, so he vowed never to play in Waterford again. And there was so many efforts over the years to try to get it back for Tall Ships, and he was just hurt by it. But eventually, it was last year, he came home, he did, I think, 5 nights at the Theatre Royal, got the freedom of the city, and it was kind of like it was all resolved again for him. But the talent, unbelievable, you know, what he achieved musically.
Yeah. So, who
Tall
are we
Ships
in?
Is interesting.
Who are we
Tall Ships is a good one.
I actually thought of the Tall Ships.
2005 and 2012.
And 2011. I'm not sure we can claim them as ours. Really.
They
do go about
to place to place, don't they? Yeah.
But that was a wonderful time in Waterford, both times that the Tall Ships came.
Yeah. So, who are we landing on? What's our final pick? Come on, consensus.
I'll go John O'Shea then.
John O'Shea?
Well, Greenway or Thomas Maher?
Oh, Greenway's in.
Greenway's in. So we've won.
Greenway's nine, so we've one slot left. Thomas Francis Maher, John O'Shea, Mario Rosenstock.
I mean,
what do we reckon?
Yeah, what do we reckon?
John O'Shea. Okay.
Where are we?
That's true. He nutmegged. What was the player? Figo, yeah.
Well, for that alone, I suppose he has to make a comment. Yeah. John O'Shea it is. John O'Shea it is. So that is our top 10 of all of...
John O'Shea can feel very proud that he nudged out the guy that did the tricolour.
That's
really...
He put it like that.
That's probably one of his achievements.
Close 11th for poor old Thomas Francis Maher, buried over in Massachusetts or wherever he is. So that is your top 10 of Waterford. The final list as we have it. Jeff's, Waterford Glass, All Together Now, Grow HQ, Dunmore East, The Bla, The Comers, The Greenway, John O'Shea, and of course, John Milan.
Hey! I love Smee County.
There we go. Thank you so much for coming to this first ever live, let me explain, at the Go Loud Lounge. Plenty going on over the weekend, including this evening. I see Aoife down there. She's going to be here in a little bit of time with a few scoops at about 6 o'clock. Owen Sheehan as well. Crappy quiz live here. Speaking of John O'Shea, there might be a John O'Shea question in there. You never know. Claire Beck is going to be DJing as well at 8 o'clock. And You Had to Be There with Off the Ball is up next too. So my thanks to the panellists, the two powers, Niall and Claire. Big hand for them. Mick Kelly, big hand as well. And thank you to you for coming to this first ever live recording of Let Me Explain. It's been great to have you. Have a fantastic weekend and spend loads of time here in the lounge as well. You'll need those bean bags by the end of the weekend. And I've been told they're wiped clean as well. So that's just good to know for the rest of the weekend. Thank you.